all of them in one opening. It's one opening in my Bible. I don't know about yours, but Numbers 13:23, and we'll start from there. If you would stand, and let's out of respect to God's word. Numbers the 13th chapter. Now reading the 23rd verse. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they bought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Now reading from verses 30 through 33. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now reading from Numbers 14, verses 1 through 4. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Now listen to this fourth verse. And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Last Sunday morning, during the Sunday school time, Johnny Williams made one comment. He made a passing comment, and he said that term, back to Egypt committee. And when Johnny said that, the bells and the whistles began to ring in my head, and the Lord began to deal with me. And all week long, the Lord has been dealing with me over that subject. And that's what I intend to preach on this morning, the qualifications for the Back to Egypt Committee. So you go with me this morning. I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to try to preach fast because I got a long way to go. I'm probably not going to preach just like you're used to hearing me preach. And you listen fast and you listen good because I'm going to have to hit it and go this morning. But I think it's important to get all of this in one passing because you may not come this way again. Pray with me this morning. Lord God of heaven, what a privilege it is to be in this place today. God, to be among your people, and Lord, just to experience you and the realness of you, God. Lord, I come to you this morning asking God for your leadership and your guidance in all that I say and do in this pulpit today, God. God, let it be in accordance with your will. God, if it's not in accordance with your will, Lord, don't let me say it. Don't let me do it, Lord. God, give each of us listening ears and a receptive heart that we might hear and receive what you have for us today. Father, I pray you'd save the lost, draw the cold heart back to you. I pray that your will would be done. Lord, anoint me afresh and anew to preach your gospel. And I ask this in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to read to you something that really spoke to my heart on commitment. In fact, I used a small passage of it in the Pastoral Nuggets that's in your bulletin this week. But I want to read the whole speech. And don't get alarmed, it's only about 5 or 6 paragraphs. But this is a speech that Vince Lombardi gave. Now, how many of you know who Vince Lombardi is? He's the famous head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And the title of his speech was What It Takes to Be Number One. What we're talking about this morning is commitment. What I'm going to preach about this morning is commitment. 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 But I want you to hear what Vince Lombardi said about it. He said, winning is not a sometime thing. It is an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. There is no room for second place. There is only one place in my game, and that's first place. I have finished second twice in my time at Green Bay, and I don't ever want to finish second again. There is a second place bowl game, but it's a game for losers played by losers. It is and always has been an American zeal to be first in anything we do, and to win and to win and to win. Every time a football player goes to ply his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right to up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Some guys play with their heads. That's okay. You've got to be smart to be number one in any business. But more importantly, you've got to play with your heart, every fiber of your body. If you're lucky enough to find a guy with a lot of head and a lot of heart, he's never going to come off the field second. Running a football team is no different than running any other kind of organization, an army, a political party, or a business. The principles are the same. The object is to win, to beat the other guy. Maybe that sounds hard or cruel. I don't think so. It is a reality of life that men are competitive, and the most competitive games draw the most competitive men. That's why they are there to compete. To know the rules and objectives when they get in the game. The object is to win, fairly, squarely by the rules, but to win. And in truth, I've never known a man worth his salt who in the long run, deep down in his heart, didn't appreciate the grind, the discipline. There's something in good men that really yearns for discipline and the harsh reality of head-to-head combat. I don't say these things because I believe in the brute nature of man or that men must be brutalized to be combative. I believe in God, and I believe in human decency. But I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. Vince Lombardi. That was his speech, What It Takes to Be Number One. Brother Aaron, why did you read that today? Because that speech epitomizes commitment. We do not win in the life game of life without being committed to the cause of which we think to be great. Today I want to talk to you about a people that never committed to the cause that they should have committed to. And that's the children of Israel. They had a leader that was committed, but the people never committed. They always wanted to turn back and to go back. And do you know this morning, you don't go forward looking backward. Amen. You don't go to the destination that you've got to go to hanging on to where you've been. Amen. I tell you what, I got a lot of fond memories in my past. I was speaking with my wife today as we come down. Something happened that triggered a memory. A song was played that they used to sing in one of the first church I was pastoring at. I looked at it and I said, 23 years, baby. I said, where's it gone? Where's it gone? Time flies, folks. But we've had a lot of good times. We've had a lot of good people we've met. But I'm telling you something, of all the victories we've had in the past, we cannot live today in the past. We cannot live tomorrow in the past. We must be committed to the future. From the very moment that Moses began to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and you know that Egypt is always a representation of sin, there was a contingent within the congregation that didn't want to be set free. They were perfectly content with the way that things were. Shortly after the children of Israel left Egypt, they encountered the Red Sea. There, Pharaoh's army was marching behind them, and the wilderness was on either side of them, and the Red Sea was in front of them. Here is where the first Back to Egypt committee was formed in church history. Exodus 14:10-12. Listen closely. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now listen to this 12th verse. Is not this the word we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Sadly, this was only the beginning of the Back to Egypt Committee. There was the contingent that didn't want to be there to begin with. And they said, now that we've come against the problem, take us back. We want to go back into bondage. We want to go back into sin. Now, every time the least little thing didn't go their way, they begin to cry, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. I submit to you that since that day, in every congregation that has ever attempted to honor the name of the Lord, of every denomination of preference, across all barriers, in every church, there has always been a contingent of the Back to Egypt Committee. Amen. Every time the least little thing comes up, they say, let's go back to Egypt. Every time something doesn't go their way, let's go back to Egypt. Hang on with me. Just listen. This ain't going to be like you used to hear. I submit to you today that every God-called pastor or leader that has ever attempted to take a leadership role in a congregation and do the will of the Lord has had to deal with the Back to Egypt Committee. Amen. The purpose of my sermon today is to tell you that should you desire to serve on this committee, you certainly can do so. But before you do, I think it only fair that you know the qualifications for serving on the Back to Egypt Committee. Now smile at me every once in a while. Number one, to qualify for the Back to Egypt Committee, you must have a stronger desire for the way things were than the way God wants them to be. Amen. I was talking to a brother this morning. I won't call his name. I won't point it out. I won't embarrass him. But the particular church he was talking about, he's talking about how they're hung up in tradition. I'm telling you, folks, there's a whole lot of folks that'd rather have things the way they were instead of the way God wants them. There ain't but one problem with that. The way things are will never be again the way they were. We must move forward. Life doesn't stop. I'm 45 years old today. I've never been 45 before. Hey, but I ain't going to quit. I ain't going to stop just because I've never done that before. Amen. Help me, somebody. Amen. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. What made them want to return back to Egypt? Number one was a bad report. They heard the report of the 8 spies that had told them about the promised land. Why is it, now listen to me, why is it that people will see with their own eyes the evidence of God, but yet will choose to listen to some lie from the devil? They saw a cluster of grapes from that promised land that was so big it had to be put on the stick to be carried between two men. One cluster of grapes that big. They brought back the physical evidence of how good God was. But you know what they chose to believe? They chose to believe the report of 8 men who said we can't do it. Why is it that we will see the blessings of God? We will see His providence. We will see with our own eyes the wonder and the glory of God. But let one little bad report come up and we'll chuck it all out the window and say, I knew the devil was going to win anyway. Why is it that way throughout churches all throughout the world today? We see the hand of God move. But we hear a bad report and the chairman of the Back to Egypt Committee will ring the bell and have an emergency call meeting. Oh, we've heard a bad report. Let's go back to Egypt. Is there anybody in here that's not guilty this morning? I don't think so. Even your pastor is guilty. Because there's times I've wanted to chair that committee. And let me pull to me. Let me take us back. Let's don't go this way. It's too hard. I've heard a bad report. I don't want to do that. It's going to offend somebody. Whew. If you can't say amen, say oh me. If you ain't going to say oh me, don't scowl at me. Smile at me. We must, if we're going to serve on this committee, you've got to be willing to embrace every bit of gossip, every bit of slander, every evil report you hear. You've got to be willing to embrace it without regard to merit or whether it's true or not. And you've got to be willing to dismiss the evidence of good. Well, it don't matter how much good anybody does. Let one little bad thing happen, and what are we going to look at? Well, Lord, I'm going to tell you something. Now, this is just getting personal. And get comfortable, because I'm going to preach till I get through with this morning. But I'm going to try to be very time conscious. But I'm telling you what, I've been here about to go into my 10th year in a couple of months. Ain't that a wonder? I ain't never been nowhere that long. Amen. But I'm telling you something. There's been many wonderful things that happened in this church. God has blessed through these 10 years. He's blessed in spite of me. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You let Aaron McCullough spiritually stub his toe, and you know what's going to happen? 10 years worth are going to go out the window. And we'll remember one thing. One thing. That's qualification for the Back to Egypt Committee. Let's don't look at all the good anybody's done. Let's just look at the one bad thing they've done. Let's hear one evil report and let's go with it. Well, glory. They had a number two. What made them listen to that report? They had a bad memory. You got to have a bad memory to serve on the Back to Egypt Committee. You know why? Because you see, they remembered. They had a selective memory. They remembered that they had a roof over their head. They remembered that in Egypt they had clothes on their back. They remembered that in Egypt they had food to eat. But you know what they chose to forget? They chose to forget the taskmaster's whip on their back. They chose to forget making brick without straw. They chose to forget that they were enslaved to the Egyptians and were not free. I'm telling you what, I'm glad I'm no longer enslaved to sin. I'm glad I've been set free. They were willing to sacrifice a future in God's promised land for the familiarity of the past. And God help us, we Baptists today are no better. We'll sacrifice the future that God has for us for the familiarity of the way things are. Amen. I'm telling you, the past wasn't that great anyway. I want you to know I'm living right now in the good old days of my life. My daughter-in-law asked me the other day, said, what you want for your birthday? I couldn't come up with a thing I wanted physically for my birthday. You know why? Because God's blessed me. If I want something, I go get it. Don't talk to me about the good old days. And the good old days when I was a little fella coming up, I wore hand-me-down shoes. I wore hand-me-down pants. I wore hand-me-down shirts. I didn't have two nickels to rub together to call my own. Oh, yeah, there was plenty of love there. There was plenty of friendship. We had good times. But, honey, them weren't the good old days. Today is the good old days. Well, glory. They chose to ignore and discount the miracles of God. They had seen the plagues. They saw the Nile run red with blood with their own eyes. They saw the frogs going everywhere. Boy, some of you women would love that, wouldn't you? Go in the kitchen, open up a pot, and there's a frog. I can see you now going into the bathroom. Flip up the lid on the commode and out jumps a frog. Woo! They had seen that plague with their own eyes. They had seen the lice everywhere. Oh, boy, that was a good plague, wasn't it? Everybody that's ever had children in public schools knows about lice. My wife goes paranoid. I mean, she goes to looking for things that ain't even there. She said, come here, let me look at you. I didn't go to school. Okay, come here, let me look at you. Their ears had heard the screams of the mothers and the fathers throughout Egypt as a death angel had passed by. They had witnessed the miracle at the Red Sea. They had seen the sea open and they walked through on dry land. The sea had closed and Pharaoh's army was destroyed. Yet they had to be willing to discount all of that and believe a bad report instead of everything they had seen with their eyes. All this just to go back to the way things used to be. The third thing, the reason they believed it, they had a sense of bad direction. They couldn't have went back if they wanted to. You know why? Because the same Red Sea that closed up to defeat Pharaoh's army and to kill him, that same Red Sea cut off their path back to Egypt. Oh, they'd have had to walk through the Red Sea to get back. So what are you talking about, Brother Aaron? I'm telling you this, that there was a fountain that started to flow. A crimson river began to flow from Calvary. And when it was applied to my life, for me to go back to Egypt, I've got to cross over the red crimson flood of the blood of Jesus. And you can't do it. You got to go forward. Glory. The second qualification for the Back to Egypt Committee. If you want to serve on this committee, number one, not only do you have to have a desire for the way things used to be, more the way God wants them to be. Second qualification is you must possess the inability to control your emotions. Your emotions have got to control you instead of you controlling them. Chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. The congregation of Israel heard the wicked report of the 8 spies. And the very first thing that happened was their emotions took over. They began to get afraid. They began to squall. They got mad because they thought they were not able to possess the land. They got discouraged or depressed because after all they'd come through, they were let down at the very end. They sat down and cried all night long in disappointment. Bunch of crybabies. Had to be Baptist. Amen. And I submit to you today, if you want to serve on the Back to Egypt Committee of this church or any church, you must not possess the ability to control your emotions. Listen to me, you got to run 100% off of emotions if you're going to serve on that committee. But every time you hear something, believe it. Hello. Every time you hear something, let your imagination run wild. Make it worse than it is. Every time you hear something, believe that it must be a whole lot worse than what you've already heard. Every time somebody or something doesn't go your way, get mad about it. Every time something doesn't turn out like you want it to, pitch a temper tantrum, get your ball and bat, and go home. Y'all ever do that when you were kids? If you owned the ball and you owned the bat, they played by your rules. If they didn't, they didn't play at all. They made you mad. You took the ball back and went home. You know what? We Christians want to do that today. Don't play by my rules. I'll get my ball back and go home. Because we ain't going to play by my rules either. We're going to play by God's rules. Amen. Amen. Every time something doesn't go your way, sit down and go squalling about it. I'm going to say this and probably get a songbook thrown at me. In my early years of marriage, before I learned better, Marianne would get mad about something my daughter didn't do, and she'd pitch a temper tantrum. If she saw her fit wasn't getting her nowhere, she'd take it to the next level. You know what the next level is? turning the tears on. And one day I told her, I got a little cup. And she was crying. I said, here, cry me a cup full while you're at it. Woo! Well, don't do that no more. We always think that tears validate our opinions. Well, glory, moving on. Every time you don't understand something, believe they're out to get you anyway. Amen. Every time you don't understand something, assume the worst. Oh, Lord, it's bad, preacher, and it's going to get worse. Every time you don't understand something, quit. Or worse than quitting, get mad and pout and stay there. I had a lot of folks tell me something. I'm just saying all I want to say here this morning. Y'all love me?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you the honest truth this morning. There been a lot of folks through my 20-something years of pastoring said, well, bless God, preacher, I'm going to leave the church. And I wanted to tell them, say, well, I wish you would. I wish you'd go ahead and leave and quit staying here pouting and making everybody miserable. Go on somewhere else. If you want to make somebody miserable, take your talent to another church. You see, to qualify for this back to Egypt committee, you got to run 100% off of emotion. You got to allow your emotions to control you instead of you controlling your emotions. Well, now the third point. How many of you have really, really loved me so far? Say amen.
Amen.
Good. Remember that because you may have to come back to that. It's like dealing with computers. Your document gets saved up to a point, and then you go a little further, and you might corrupt it, but you can always come back to the saved part. So just save the part you've enjoyed right now, because I may be fixing to corrupt it for you. The third qualification for the Back to Egypt Committee is you must feel that you have been gifted with the spiritual gifts of criticism, condemnation, and complaining. Chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in this land of Egypt. Don't that just make you sick? Or would God that we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us out into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us returning to Egypt? Gripe, 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 gripe. The motto of the Back to Egypt Committee is, when in doubt, criticize, condemn, and complain.
Amen.
Their mission is always to be a part of the problem and never a part of the solution. Well, glory. They always tell you what's wrong, they never tell you how to fix it. My wife, and I love my wife, and I'm just using her for examples today. She's good at that. How many of you men can say amen to that? Wow, I got a response. Todd got a look. Amen. And I'm telling you something this morning. My wife can tell me what's wrong with things, but she can't tell me how to fix them. Most of the time. I keep talking about it today. She's going to tell me how to fix it. I'm convinced that in every congregation of every denomination in every corner of the world, there are those that feel they have been spiritually gifted to tell everybody else what they're doing wrong. Every pastor hears it all the time. Folks will come up and say, preacher, you know what's wrong with this church? And every pastor at that point wants to say, you? But we sin, we think to ourselves, no, I don't know, but I'm sure you're about to tell me. Amen. Now listen, let me get something real clear here. I am not talking about constructive criticism today. I want you to hear that. I want everybody do like this and hear what I'm saying. I am not talking about constructive criticism.
It's different if you see a problem and in a constructive way, the right way, approach that problem, sit down with the pastor, sit down with the deacons, sit down with whoever that it takes and talk that thing through and come to a resolution. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. God would have us to do that. What I'm talking about is those professional whiners and complainers. Oh, God, give me boldness. Preacher! Boy, you know you're in trouble when they come to you like that. Preacher! It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. It's too early. It's too late. It's too much. It's too little. It's too fast. It's too slow. It's too easy. It's too hard. Gripe, 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 gripe. Nothing is ever right with this bunch, and nothing ever satisfies them. And what I really want to tell them is, oh, shut up. Amen. Amen. I want to tell them so bad. If you don't have anything better to do than criticize, condemn, and complain, don't do it here. Go bless another pastor. Glory. The fourth qualification for the Back to Egypt Committee is you must believe that pastoral authority and church leadership is subject to majority rule. Chapter 14, verse 4. And they said one to another, let us, U.S., let us, don't have God have anything to do with it, but let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. You know what I just read to you? The first minutes of the first business meeting by a Southern Baptist congregation where they attempted to vote out the pastor. Brother, what are you talking about? Oh yeah, God had appointed Moses. Forget that God had appointed Moses. The congregation said, well, that don't matter. We're going to have a vote. And the whole congregation wanted to make a committee, elect their preacher, put him in the pulpit, get one in to lead like you want to lead, and let him take you back to Egypt. Oh. Well, let me tell you something, though. Might don't make right. The 8 spies were wrong. And in this particular instance, the whole congregation was wrong. But you want to see a pastor's heart? You read on in chapter 14. I'm not going to read it. But you read on. And you'll see where the man of God was ready to destroy that whole bunch. They had come against his anointing. Now let me tell you something. It don't matter what you think about me. It don't matter what you think about any man that God puts in this pulpit. I'd rather you like me. I'd rather you love me. I'd rather like you. I'd rather love you. But I'm telling you something. Whether it be me in this pulpit or whether it be John Henry or Joe Blow, you better be mighty careful about what you do with God's man. Amen. My Bible says, touch not God's anointed. God is well capable of taking care of his leaders. And I'm telling you what, if a preacher needs taken to the woodshed, God can do it. Amen. Amen. Well, glory. Some of you right now, I see you hitting that return to save button. Whoa, take me back to the beginning of this program where I liked it at. Well, I was speaking with a pastor friend of mine the other day. You know what he told me? He said, I used to pastor a church. Now, deacons, I love y'all. I'm going to preface this by saying, I got 4 of the best deacons in the world right here. Somebody asked me, says, how many deacons you got? I said, I ain't got but 4, but I'll put them up against your 8 and 12 any day. Amen. But listen, he told me, he said, I used to pastor a church. And he said, Aaron, instead of bringing Bibles to the deacon meeting, you know what they brought? I said, no, what? He said, they'd bring copies of the Constitution and bylaws of the church and Robert's Rules of Order. My Lord, folks, my Lord, where do we lose God at in this thing? Order is good. Hear what I'm saying. Order is good, but legalism defies the leadership of a holy God. The Back to Egypt Committee wants to bind the pastor and every member of the New Testament church with their wretched legalism. You can do this, preacher. You can't do that. You can go here, preacher. You can't go there. You got to dress like this, preacher. You can't dress like that. You got to act like this, preacher. You can't act like that. You got to do these things this way. You can't do them that way. You got to preach on this and you got to preach on that. But I'm here to tell you, I was saved from the bondage of sin, not to bondage of sin, and I refuse to be under the legalism of the devil. Woo! My Bible still teaches that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory! Hang in there. I'm 3/4 of the way through. I make you this promise. With your prayers and support, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, I will not be bound by the legalism of the Back to Egypt Committee. I will, whether it makes me popular or not, I will preach the Word of God without compromise or without apology. I will preach His Word without regards to personal preference or personal standing. I will be a leader that leads. I don't have a noodle for a backbone. I want to park there a minute. I get sick of leaders that won't lead. I like what Lee Iacocca said. Either lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Baby, what got that be in your bonnet?
Johnny Williams. Last Sunday morning, it's all his fault. This thing's been turning over in my heart all week long since last Sunday morning. Break it in half, preacher, and let us finish it tonight. If I thought you wouldn't chicken out on me, I would. But you ain't going to be back. I got to get it while I'm going. I will be a leader that leads. You may not always agree with me, and I give you my permission to disagree with me. You can be wrong if you want to. But you're going to know where I stand. Amen. I will stand for right and against sin. I will lead only as God leads me. And I will be a pastor too and love this whole congregation, Back to Egypt Committee included. Amen. And finally, with all that is within me, I will do my best to defend this flock against the grievous wolves that want to destroy it. I'm going to say this. If the devil's wolves want to destroy this flock, they're going to have to go through me and the Word of God and the power of God to do it. Woo! And you take that to the bank. Now, I've given you 4 qualifications for serving on the Back to Egypt Committee. Get a song ready. I'm just about through. Now, I've given you 4 qualifications for serving on the Back to Egypt Committee. Number 1, you got to have a strong desire for the way things were instead of the way God wants them to be. Number 2, you must not possess the ability to control your emotions. Number 3, you must be gifted to criticize, condemn, and complain. And number 4, you must believe that pastoral authority is subject to majority rule. But yet there's one more qualification that you got to meet. Now you got to hear this one. You may be sitting back there saying, "Whew, well, I got 4 of them down. I'm going to get to serve on this committee." You got one more qualification to meet. And this one puts the cherry on top of the icing. This is the grand poopah of all the regulations you got to meet and the requirements. Listening? Are you listening? The fifth qualification for serving on the Back to Egypt Committee is that you must believe. And I mean, you got to believe with all your heart. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready, preacher. You've got to believe. Say, I believe, preacher. With all my heart. What I got to believe, preacher. If you want to serve on that committee, you've got to believe with all your heart that I aim this sermon at you today. And if you're convinced I aim this sermon at you today, you are now qualified to serve on the Back to Egypt Committee of Roper Heights Baptist Church. Today, I've preached this sermon tongue in cheek. There have been times that we all, Aaron number one, there have been times that we have all met every qualification to serve on the Back to Egypt Committee. But let me tell you something. Are you listening to your preacher? Give me two or three more minutes of your attention. Just because you qualify doesn't mean you have to serve. And just because you've been on the committee for a long time doesn't mean you have to stay on the committee. Today, you can resign off of that committee. Today, if you are currently serving or have been approached and asked to serve on the Back to Egypt Committee, then please resign your commission. Please refuse the invitation. Today, I set before you a choice. You can continue to serve on the Back to Egypt Committee, or we've got open enrollment this morning on joining the On to the Promised Land Committee. That's up to you which one you want to serve on. You can be on that Back to Egypt Committee, and every move we make, everything that comes up, you can be like an anchor on a ship and say, take us back to Egypt. Great, great, great. Criticize, condemn, and complain. Or you can say, hey, I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land, and I will not be denied what is mine. Let us go on into the promises of God. Shut up, Aaron. Said too much anyway. I'm going to ask one more time. How many of you love me? Amen. Amen. How many of you agree with what I've said this morning? Say amen real loud.
Amen.
How many of you going to do what the Lord wants you to do? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm through with you then. When I preach it, it's up to you.